It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. ESPN takes a deep dive into what it calls the largest doping scandal in American sports history. 10 years after Milwaukee Brewers star Ryan Braun confessed to his part in a performance-enhancing drug scandal, the federal probe is called Operation Strikeout. Here's the outfielder at a press conference in 2012 after successfully challenging a drug-related penalty.
By no means am I perfect, but if I've ever made any mistakes in my life, I've taken responsibility for my actions. I truly believe in my heart, and I would bet my life that this substance never entered my body at any point.
Audio courtesy of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Call in with a question, add your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Fish is a senior writer at ESPN. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So ESPN publishing a 10-story package revisiting the performance-enhancing drug operation that rocked Major League Baseball. Why revisit the scandal a decade later?
I think it was a look back, as you mentioned, a decade later. It's driven, if you read the articles, it's driven by government DEA documents or investigative documents from the case files. So that provides, you know, interviews with the athletes, provides interviews with the people who were charged in the case, a variety of folks. It's details on government surveillance, on execution of search warrants. So it's just basically, you know, something that's a deep dive into it. It's something that's been worked on for years. And, you know, it's unfortunate it didn't come out earlier, to be honest. But
It sounds like you received a lot of documents, more than 1,400 pages of investigative materials from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. What did you learn about the scale of this drug scandal that went unreported?
Well, I think the scale of it was pretty well known because people were, you know, both charged by the criminal justice system as well as players being suspended by Major League Baseball. I think the thing that stood out to me, and I hope people, if they read the 10 articles, I know it's going to take some time for folks to do that, but just the idea that no one in the story comes out looking very well. Right. Whether it's the baseball players who were involved with the doping, whether it's doctors who were, you know, providing this stuff, many of whom had their own dark issues. They had lost licenses, whether or not it's representatives or player agents who were creating bogus excuses, whether it's Alex Rodriguez and his legal team and their fight to discredit Major League Baseball, or whether it's Major League Baseball and their executives throwing money willy-nilly in their efforts to make a case against Alex Rodriguez and doing things, not just them, but all these folks are doing things that are unethical and morally, you know, questionable.
Take us into the life of Tony Bosch, this hormone specialist, the biochemist at Biogenesis of America, and what Tony did. Can you explain him?
Yeah, it's... I'm sure there's probably some of this in your community in Milwaukee, but in South Florida, anti-aging and wellness and rejuvenation centers are very, very popular. And what Tony was in the state of Florida, it's probably unique in the sense that you and I can actually open up a wellness clinic, all right? Mm-hmm. And we could own it. But the deal is you have to have a licensed medical doctor as your medical director. So you have someone who signs on. So Tony Bosch would run these clinics, and he had multiple of these clinics through probably like a 10, 15 year period where he would have doctors as his medical director, but he basically would pay these people to, you know, sign scripts, to be a front for his practice. And then he latched on early on to one of the more high profile athletes at the time, Manny Ramirez. And Manny Ramirez, again, you know, very successful baseball player. And the rejuvenation in his career, fittingly, attracted other players. And people, you know, were able to figure out that Bosch was involved with Manny Ramirez. And through that, he accumulated a lot of other players. There were a lot of, I guess you would call them runners for different agents. They're not technically agents, but they work for the agencies. And they attract players. So they would bring the players to him. So he had this situation going on. And it was primarily Latino players, because he's Cuban American, he's down in Miami, all these doctors were friends of him and in that community. So it was just something that probably went on for about, over a period of probably 5 to 10 years, I guess.
We're talking about the 2013 doping scandal in Major League Baseball with ESPN. Senior writer Mike Fish is here. You can join in with your insights, call in with questions at any point at 800-642-1234. Mike, we're going to circle here to the Brewers and Ryan Braun. One of the stories in your series focuses on the Brewers outfielder, Ryan Braun. In 2011, Braun was named the National League's most valuable player. But before that, Braun tested positive for elevated levels of testosterone. When did that revelation become public?
Well, I believe he tested positive after the first game of the American League Championship Series, I think it was. I'd have to go back and double check. But that's when the test took place. And I think he learned about the positive tests probably after the playoffs, obviously, I think. My guess is probably December. And at that point, there was an effort to, first of all, to conceal it, to keep it quiet. Then it was a matter of, okay, how are we going to defend against this? What do we do? What's our argument? That his case was the only one in the history of Major League Baseball and drug testing and positive test that was ever overturned by an arbitrator. Mm. So you ran the clip to start this thing.
Yes.
You ran the clip, with the voice overview with him talking about after you've been cleared, how he's sworn his life. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned earlier, the ethical, moral issues and just the I don't want to say corruption. Corruption is the wrong word, but just people just doing whatever it takes to win. And it's not just Ryan Braun. I don't mean to pick on him, and it's because he'd be an obvious target. But it's all the other characters in here. It's the idea that he sat down in a meeting with Tony Bosch, his agent, an attorney for CAA, one of the largest talent agencies in the world, if you will, as well as two other attorneys. And they concocted this story where they blamed a fellow who was the collector at the time, and tried to pin it on him that he was, a Cubs fan who didn't like the Brewers, and he was anti-Semitic, and horrible stuff. And then with a straight face, come out and kind of say those things is, to me, it's mind-boggling.
So Braun was found to have used an anti-inflammatory cream that was laced with the performance-enhancing testosterone and a human growth hormone. How did Braun first obtain the performance-enhancing drugs?
Well, Braun went to the University of Miami, attended the University of Miami, played there. There were two teammates that were still in Miami at the time. And through them, he connected with them. They apparently had maintained a friendship, and I'm not sure if they explained to him what they were doing, because they were clients of Tony Bosch. And I believe they told him how successful this stuff was, how it relieved pain, helped him with injuries, blah, blah, blah. And he reached out to them, and then through them, they facilitated his receiving this stuff from Tony Bosch. It was this cream, but it was also, Bosch had something that he calls gummies, if you will. And they're almost like little gummies that you can imagine as a child, candy. And they're laced with low levels of testosterone. And all the players, that was part of his protocols. The players would receive these, and the instruction was to take them, a half hour, an hour before the game, and put it under your tongue and let it just dissolve. And that was to basically give you additional energy and that sort of thing.
So
and
it was like a form of microdosing or
right.
Fast
the levels
acting.
Were so low that you would never be caught, is what the idea was. I mean, by the time the game was over, it'd probably be out of your system. If you were drug tested after the game, which is unlikely anyways, it would never show up.
ESPN senior writer Mike Fish investigates the largest performance-enhancing drug scandal in American sports history, how the Brewers outfielder Ryan Braun was involved. You can be part of the discussion along the way. Call in with the question or share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. State Republican lawmakers propose a bill that would devote hundreds of millions of dollars to repair the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. An ESPN investigative reporter takes us inside what federal agents called Operation Strikeout and the effects of a major performance-enhancing drug scandal a decade ago with ties to Brewers star outfielder Ryan Braun. Call in with your questions, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Mike Fish with us, senior writer at ESPN. Mike, you write, Marcelo Albiere was instructed to mail the performance-enhancing cream to Ryan Braun under the name of the then Brewers pitcher, Sean Markham. What was going on there?
That's a good question. I think that Albiere would periodically show up in Milwaukee and stay at the Pfister Hotel, and he would have Tony Bosch, the clinic brain character here, he would send him the stuff at the hotel. He also told the federal government that he was asked to send, by Ryan Braun, was asked to send it in care of Sean Markham. Markham was obviously a teammate. I've reached out and attempted to reach Markham multiple times. Obviously, Markham never returned any kind of phone call and never participate in this. So I don't know if he himself was using it, if he was just the middleman. Again, it raises a lot of questions as far as what was actually happening.
I wonder, the hormone specialist, Tony Bosch, you mentioned the gummies, right. The testosterone gummies. How did Bosch give athletes testosterone, and was that the leading drug of choice?
Yeah, it was definitely the leading drug of choice. That was both in creams. It was in these gummies. They would also use human growth hormone, those kind of things. He dealt a lot with compounding pharmacies that would create these gummies. Some of the substances were produced in bathtubs in the black market with guys who would just create this stuff with supplies that they would receive from China and Russia. There would be these doctors I mentioned that would write bogus scripts to get drugs. The whole thing is, one of the questions that would be raised is, what were the players, the athletes themselves thinking? I'm not sure what kind of advice they had, if they had any, but the idea that you would be doing these things, not only are you risking your reputation and a possible suspension, but I think a larger issue in some cases is you're risking your health, which is more important. You're dealing with a guy who's not a licensed physician, and if you knew where this stuff was coming from, you'd be flabbergasted.
Tony Bosch, and you put this in italics, did tell athletes, no matter what, keep your mouth shut. But that seemingly didn't really pan out. Considering all the documents, how did athletes open up to federal agents and essentially rout out each other?
Well, they were all given, or not all of them, but most of them were giving, queen for a day, coverage by the government, whereby anything they provided or said wouldn't subsequently be used against them in any kind of legal proceeding. So they had coverage, and they brought in, I guess, probably close to 15 to 20 athletes, and they basically sat them down. They all were accompanied by attorneys, and they all told their stories. And it was, how you connected initially with Tony Bosch, what substances you received, how often you saw him, what he charged you, and all these, various details. And it just kind of lays out. The government was not looking to charge the athletes or the players. They were looking at Tony Bosch, as well as the people who were part of his network, the suppliers, and the folks that were actually dealing the drugs and involved in that process. So they weren't looking to charge Ryan Braun or Alex Rodriguez or any of the athletes involved. They were looking to gather information against the people that were actually the targets of the investigation.
But there were suspensions. It led to Major League Baseball suspending 21 players, including Ryan Braun. And then in late 2014, Braun pleads guilty to conspiracy to distribute testosterone, one of eight people convicted in the federal probe. How significant was Braun's conviction?
Well, hold on a second. Okay. It wasn't Braun wasn't charged. It was Bosch that was charged.
Bosch. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No. But I think that obviously the information that Braun and the others provided obviously helped the government make its case. There were eight people, I guess, that were charged. Tony Bosch, the other irony of this whole thing is that Major League Baseball, both the government and Major League Baseball used Tony Bosch, ultimately cut a deal with him. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Major League Baseball paid Bosch and his attorneys millions of dollars for his cooperation, essentially. And then along with that, they went to the government and spoke on his behalf in terms of his cooperation in helping Major League Baseball, you know, suspend these players. And the irony is that Tony Bosch was also providing steroids and performance-enhancing drugs to teenagers, to, you know, adolescents. And baseball, which is this great champion of trying to clean up its sport, supported someone who was doing things that, again, were, you know, beyond the pale. So, I mean, like I said before, I think everyone in this story is just, you know, it's a mess, but it's unfortunate. But it is what it is, and it was what it was, I guess.
Mike Fish with us, ESPN senior writer, as we look at the 2013 performance-enhancing drug scandal and how to view it today. You can join in the conversation, your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. So Ryan Braun's 65-game suspension cost him $3 million. Braun continued to play for the Brewers until he retired in 2021. Final contract requires the team to continue to pay him $1.8 million a year through 2031. How much were the careers of players affected by this doping scandal?
Well, I think you just laid it out. The high-profile players were minimally affected. Yeah, it cost Ryan Braun $3 million, but that season, the 2011 season, was the reason he got that new contract, the contract that goes on and on. So, I mean, yeah, he lost money, but at the end of the day, you could also argue he made a great deal of money. You look back at players like Nelson Cruz and Melky Cabrera and all those guys, yeah, they got suspended, but they then subsequently signed contracts. So the major league teams that were, you know, supposedly these great, you know, proponents or advocates against steroid use would go and sign these players after the fact and sign them for larger contracts than they previously had. So, I mean, the whole thing is kind of, in many ways, you know, hypocritical. And the other thing that's worth pointing out is there were other players in these stories besides baseball players. I mean, you had LeBron James's manager and one of his trainers were caught on surveillance with both the drug dealer, you know, one of Tony Bosch's drug dealers. And at the time, he was known to be a target of the federal investigation. Major League Baseball had filed a civil lawsuit naming him. So again, you just had people doing silly things and not really being, you know, the sharpest knives in the draw.
Is Major League Baseball taking steps today to prevent another doping scandal?
I'll let them answer that question, but they eliminated the investigative unit they had that was in place at this time. If you noticed, I haven't seen any major names who have been suspended. And I think that the people, whether it's the Tony Bosches of the day or others, have ways to get around any kind of doping system that Major League Baseball and other sports leagues have in place.
You mentioned LeBron. How does this doping scandal compare to, you know, performance-enhancing drug use and doping scandals in other sports?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, this is the largest doping scandal, sports doping scandal. And I say that based on the number of people who were criminally charged, as well as the number of people who were suspended, and then the efforts by both the federal government and Major League Baseball to investigate this. I mean, my position would be that, you know, with the money that's involved in sports today, that there's probably issues with doping and, you know, the predominance of sports. I don't know where it doesn't exist. I mean, you see it in Paralympics. You see it in, you know, which is, again, you know, another story. But I think that it permeates all sports. To what level or what degree? I mean, I don't really know, but I suspect it touches everything.
How much do fans care if the athletes they go to see at the ballpark are playing clean?
I don't think they care, to be honest. I mean, I think they go to see a game. They go to see home runs. They want to see their players in the field. One of the things that these substances do, you know, people have this perception that, you know, you take this and bing, bang, you hit home runs and you do wonderful things. I think the real reason people are doing these, or athletes are, is it helps them stay on the field. It helps with recovery from injury. It helps them train harder. Again, I don't think it's going to necessarily make you hit 50 home runs for a guy that maybe previously hit 15. It's not a magic pill, but it does help in keeping you on the field, which again is something, you know, ironically that major league teams and professional teams want. They want their athletes performing.
And that means fans coming to the stadium to see those fans performing.
Yeah, it's a business. Yeah.
It's a business. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your investigation.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed chatting with you.
Mike Fish is a senior writer at ESPN. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.